Today, we'll have Crystal's November trip report. That's coming up on this episode 196 of WWE Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WWE Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 196. Today, I have another trip report for you. This one is different than others that we have had because the daughter, Crystal's daughter, has never eaten in a restaurant due to her severe food allergies. And it is one of the many ways that Disney World can be so great for families. And so you will hear all about that in just a minute. As always, a reminder to follow on social media, particularly during trips. It is fun to follow along and see the pictures on Instagram. Search WDW Prep School and follow along there. Speaking of trips, I am going back to Disney World. What a surprise. On Friday, I will be going to Disney World for a few nights with my daughter. We are staying at the Grand Floridian, and I will be posting audio clips from there. For personal trips, I try not to let the itinerary of the trips be dictated by work, but if I can include some work as I go, like audio clips or pictures, then I do that. So I will be doing some audio clips just like I do normally on my Disney World trips. So you can listen along and follow along this weekend for that. I think that's going to be it for now. Without any further ado, here is Crystal. Welcome to the podcast, Crystal.
Thanks, Shannon. I'm excited to talk to you.
You and I are speaking on November 8th for your pre-trip interview. When are your trip dates?
We leave this Sunday, so November 11th. And we will be home the following Sunday, the 18th.
The 18th. Okay. And who is we?
It's myself, my husband, and our daughter who just turned 6 in September.
Oh, that's a cute age.
Yeah, she's super excited.
And is this your first trip or not?
My husband and I both went when we were kids, but as adults, this is our first trip and it's her first trip as well.
It's your first time planning a trip.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And how did you guys decide to travel in mid-November?
So my husband and I both work from home and my daughter is homeschooled. So we have a ton of flexibility. I really wanted to go during the holidays. So that was the main thing we were looking at. And the reason we ended up picking this week, because we got a dedicated DVC reservation and that's the week I was booked. So,
okay. And
that's how we ended up at this time.
And to explain the dedicated DVC reservation, I believe what you mean by that is someone had already reserved it and it was available to purchase, but you just have to use their dates and their resort that they have already reserved, right?
Yeah. We were originally going to go with my parents. And so we had rented DVC points and booked a reservation at Bay Lake Tower for a two-bedroom villa. And my parents couldn't go and we didn't want to pay for the two-bedroom villa by ourselves. So we canceled that reservation, which fortunately we had a protection plan and we were able to do that. But by that point, it was like maybe 5 months out and all of the DVC availability for Bay Lake Tower was booked. And I kind of had my heart set on Bay Lake Tower at that point and being able to walk to Magic Kingdom. So I read online that you can sometimes find these reservations that people have already booked and they don't want for whatever reason and rent them. So I started like just following all the different websites and pretty quickly, actually, I found one for right around the holiday time at Bay Lake Tower in a one-bedroom villa. And so that was perfect. And we snapped it up.
Okay. So that answers the next question, which is where are you staying? And that is Bay Lake Tower. Those one-bedroom villas are great. I think you're going to like it, but you'll have to let us know when you get back.
Yeah. So kind of a theme throughout here is going to be that my daughter has multiple food allergies, really severe anaphylactic food allergies. And so we can't really travel without a full kitchen because I have to cook most of her food. And so it was really important that we were able to get something with a kitchen. So we had to go with the villas.
I know Disney is very appealing to those of you that have severe yes. food allergies. So let's talk about the food, since that is obviously a big focus for you. How are you planning the food for this trip? Is it a combination of making your own and eating at restaurants where the chefs can work with you, or how does this go?
Yeah, we are going to do, so she's never actually eaten in a restaurant before. She ate one time on a cruise ship and had a full anaphylactic reaction. And so that's the only time she's ever eaten food that basically I haven't prepared. So she's super excited to eat in a restaurant and, you know, a little nervous, but we've heard wonderful things about Disney. So on top of her food allergies, she's also a really picky eater, and she doesn't eat like typical kid things, you know, like French fries and chicken nuggets and stuff. So we're sticking to breakfast because she loves waffles, and we got the whole guide. There's a guide online of where you can find the allergy-free Mickey waffles. So all breakfast reservations. So we're going to do table service breakfasts and then either eat in the hotel room or bring our own food into the park. For her, my husband and I will probably have some quick service stuff here and there, but that's our plan in general.
So the never eating in a restaurant thing is pretty big deal. So
yes.
I did not understand the food allergy thing until I saw someone in a video on YouTube a few years ago who telling a similar story about how the only family vacation they'd ever taken was Disney World. And it was because of food allergies, and they could really feel like normal family because they could go out to eat and stuff. And if I talk too much longer about this, I'm going to start crying. So
yeah, I am fully prepared. Like the first time I see her order a meal that, you know, I'm probably going to start crying, but she's incredibly excited about it. And, you know, I'm so grateful that Disney puts so much effort into this and that it's even an opportunity for us.
What are her specific food allergies, or is it a long list?
No, it's not that long. It's milk, eggs, all nuts, and possibly wheat. That's not, they haven't sorted that one out yet.
Well, that does cover a lot of things, though, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that is tricky. Okay. All right. So we'll definitely spend some time talking about that when you get back to see how the food situation went.
Yeah.
So when it came time, you've got a week there. So you're within walking distance of Magic Kingdom. I suspect you are going to be there multiple days. How many days in each park did you plan on?
I got the park hopper because there are Christmas parties almost every night that we're there at Magic Kingdom. So I wanted to be able to have the flexibility if we want to go somewhere else after in the afternoon or something. But I'm planning about 2 days at Magic Kingdom and 1 day at Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios.
So the downfall of coming this time of year is that Magic Kingdom does close a few nights a week. So, so you will have the freedom to hop around. Speaking of the Christmas party, do you plan to attend the Christmas party?
Yes, we are doing that not the first night we arrive. We get in about 4:30, so we're not really going to do anything on arrival day, but the next day, our first full day there, we're doing a Christmas party.
Okay. And when it came time to book your fast passes, what was your approach to do things your six-year-old is into? Or are you going to do a bit of rider switching? What are you doing?
It's probably going to be like the most boring interview you've done in terms of rides, because we're totally going with what she wants and what she likes. My husband isn't big on rides anyway, and I have some vertigo and motion sickness stuff. So we are sticking with what she's comfortable with, and no real thrill rides.
So that would have made getting the fast passes a little bit easier, but even some of the kid-friendly rides are difficult to get. So did you get everything you wanted for fast passes?
Yes, we did. I was up with my phone and my computer at 7 o'clock, 60 days out. We ended up changing some plans about 2 days ago, and switching our park days. So, but I was still able to get pretty much the fast passes, even at this late time, for what we wanted to do, because we're not doing the huge attractions, I don't think.
Yeah. It does give you more flexibility. If you don't have any of those super difficult ones. You mentioned that you have some breakfast dining reservations. Mm-hmm. Where specifically are you going, and did you get everything you wanted 180 days out or whenever you booked those?
Yeah. So we were already, when we got a reservation, it was already past 100, you know, closer than 180 days. So I didn't have a lot of trouble though. So our first day there, we're actually eating at Olivia's at Old Key West, which I know is kind of out of the way. But because my daughter's never eaten in a restaurant, I wanted somewhere pretty low key and that I thought wouldn't be super busy and crazy. We didn't want to do a character meal because, I mean, the experience for her of just being in a restaurant, you know, for the first time is going to be pretty big. So we had planned to do Disney Springs that afternoon before the Christmas party. So we have a breakfast at Olivia's, and then we're going to take the boat to Disney Springs and hang out there for a little while.
Mm-hmm. What other dining reservations do you have?
So the next day, we're going to eat at our hotel. We're going to eat at the Wave for breakfast. Wednesday, we have an 8 a.m. for Garden Grill. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I'm actually a little bit nervous about because I'm not sure with the food allergies and the fur characters, because she also has contact allergies. So I'm a little hesitant about that, but I might just have her like not hug them, you know, while she's eating and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But she loves Chippendale, so we're excited about that.
Okay.
On Thursday, we have a reservation for the Bon Voyage breakfast. Mm-hmm. And Friday, I don't have anything booked. I'm not sure if we'll want to break from table service basically at that point, getting up early. And so I don't have anything booked for Friday. And then Saturday, we have an 8 o'clock at Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest breakfast before the park opens?
Yes.
Okay. Lots of breakfast. So I'm going to guess you're not on the Disney dining plan.
No, nope.
Probably wouldn't make sense for you. And did you guys get Memory Maker?
Yes, we did.
Memory Maker is a yes. You'll get plenty of use out of that at the Christmas party alone, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll see. What else? Is there anything else that you have in your plans that we haven't talked about?
The one thing that I said where we had to switch a couple of our days is we are going to be doing the Up Close with Rhinos tour at the Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the only day it was available when I found out about it was previously a Magic Kingdom day. So we had to flip-flop those. But yeah, my daughter's super excited about that.
I have a feeling a lot of people are into this tour because it seemed to sell out as soon as it went on sale.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll be curious to hear what you thought about that.
Okay.
And there's a couple things I think I missed. So are you flying into Orlando?
We are. Yes. We live in Western New York, so we'll be flying down.
And so is it your daughter's first flight as well?
It's not. No, we've been on a couple of other trips.
Okay. It's just her first time at Disney World.
Yeah.
Okay. Flying from New York. And are you taking Magical Express or something else?
We're not. I think we're just going to Uber.
Uber. Okay. That's what I do every trip too. okay. What are you looking most forward to on this trip?
I mean, I think we're all very excited about my daughter being able to mm-hmm. just do something totally normal, you know, go of to course. A restaurant and feel safe and order some breakfast. And I think in general, our philosophy for this trip is we're not looking at it like this is the only time we're going to go. We're pretty sure we'll be back. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of going for the experience and the atmosphere. And we really want to take everything in, as opposed to kind of, you know, go, 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 one attraction to the next. So as laid back as a Disney trip can be, I think maybe we're going to be a little laid back.
Yeah, when you have the privilege of going more than once, it does make each trip a little less, there's a little less pressure. So so you can just kind of go with the flow instead of feeling like you have to check everything off of a list. So, and like you said, your main focus is going to be eating in the restaurants. So that will be hopefully a good experience for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me. I can't wait to talk to you in a couple of weeks when you get back and see how it all went.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Crystal.
Bye.
Welcome back to the podcast, Crystal.
Thanks, Shannon.
All right. So you and I are speaking on November 20th this time, which means you have been back for a couple days.
Yes, we got back on the 18th, so just about 2 days.
2 days. How do you think your trip went overall?
It was great. We had a great time. It went really well.
What was something that surprised you that you weren't planning on during the trip?
I think, which we will probably talk about, but my daughter loved meeting characters. And so that was not something that I had really planned a lot of time for. I didn't think she was going to like it. She's really shy. But that was one of her favorite things, and she was so excited. So we kind of, on the fly, made sure we met as many characters as possible, and that was really fun.
Because I've been following you on Instagram, I had a feeling you might say that, because you had lots of cute character pictures. So
yeah.
And I think that's the tricky thing about you, because you said your daughter is six. So I think that's a tricky thing about kids that are young, is that you don't really know what to expect. And so yeah, it sounds like that was something you weren't planning on, and you were surprised to learn that she was super into that. So
yes. Yeah.
All right. All right. So let's start with this time of year and how you felt about it. How did you think the weather and the crowds were?
So the weather was really hot when we first got there. So the first couple of days it was probably not really hot by Florida standards, but really hot by upstate New York standards. It was, you know, I think 86, 87, the first few days. And then by the end of the week, it was in the low 70s. So I thought that was perfect. So yeah, it was a little warm for us at first. And then by the end of the week, it was great. So the weather was good.
And I think for anybody who is thinking about a November trip or December or January or February, that checking the forecast right before you leave is going to be key, because it could be anything. It could be 86, like you said, and it could be, you know, 60. You just never know this time of year. So you kind of got a mix during your dates.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And what about the crowds?
So when we first got there, I think the first day we were there, we still had some of the Veterans Day crowds. So like that we noticed was a little more crowded. And then over the course of the week, it really didn't seem that crowded at all. And then right before we left, I think we were starting to get the Thanksgiving crowds. So the last day or two we were there, the last day in particular, we were there Saturday. We were in Magic Kingdom on Saturday, and that felt pretty crowded to me.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. On our crowd calendar for this week, last week, we said there's probably going to be a drop-off between events, because yeah, Veterans Day and Thanksgiving, so you were there during the pocket in between, so you got to see that change happen. Okay, and you mentioned before that this was going to be a trip with lots of firsts, including your daughter's first flight, right?
Not her first flight. She'd been on an airplane before.
Oh, okay. Not her first flight, so just her first time at Disney World. Okay. So how did your flight and your transportation from the airport go then to get your trip started?
Everything went really smoothly. We took a direct flight, from Rochester, where we're from, to the Orlando airport. And that was great. Everything was on time. And then we just took an Uber right from the airport to Bay Lake Tower. And that was fast and easy. So we had no issues at all getting there.
Good. And then once you got there, you told us before that you were staying in a one-bedroom villa at Bay Lake Tower. How did you like that?
We loved it. It was so fantastic. I had forgotten that we were going to have two full bathrooms. So that was kind of a nice surprise when we got there, because I think I knew that when we booked it, but I'd forgotten about it. So that was fantastic. It was so convenient, the location. We could see the Magic Kingdom fireworks from our balcony, which was amazing. We loved it. Like, I would stay there again in a heartbeat. And the one bedroom was perfect for us because of the food allergies. I did cook most of my daughter's meals in the room. And so to have the full kitchen, it was great. We loved it.
Good. I'm glad that worked out for you. It's hard to beat that location.
Yes.
Really? Yes. You get spoiled when you have access to walk to Magic Kingdom.
I know. I told my husband, I'm like, we're never going to be able to stay anywhere else now, like, now that we've done this.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good spot. Okay, so let's dive into your trip. And as you told us before, the thing that was going to be that you were looking forward to was your daughter eating at a restaurant. So let's talk about that, because I believe that one of the first things you did was you ate at Olivia's at Old Key West.
I actually changed that. So we ended up, I think right after you and I had chatted, you mentioned to me, you know, that we should make sure we're going to see the other resorts on the monorail, especially the Christmas decorations. So kind of last minute, I decided, let's skip Olivia's. Let's go to the Grand Floridian Cafe so we can see the gingerbread house. So we did that. So on Monday morning, we took the monorail over to the Grand Floridian and ate at the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Okay, so that was her first meal.
That was her first meal.
How did that go?
It went well. I mean, for us, having never, you know, taken her to a restaurant before, the chef came out. We talked to the waitress. We told her about the food allergies. The chef came out. We told him what she wanted, and everything went smoothly. She had no reaction whatsoever, so we were really happy with that. Over the course of the week, having eaten, you know, done that again, we did breakfast every morning in a restaurant, and we tried a bunch of different ones. So over the course of the week, we found that the Grand Floridian Cafe actually was, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was the least good, I think, of all of the experiences that we had. But at the time, it was our first meal, and we thought it was great. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. And it's relatively easy to get in there because you booked it sort of last minute.
Yes. Yeah, we had no problem getting a reservation. We had a 9 a.m. reservation for breakfast, and it was not a I think I probably booked it maybe the day before, and not very far in advance.
Right. That's one of the perks of that restaurant. Okay, so you mentioned the other places worked out better. So I guess as we talk through your trip, we will come across those. So was your first park day at Magic Kingdom then?
No. So what we did that day, we went to the Christmas party that night, but we didn't use a park ticket. So we took a bus from the Grand Floridian after we had breakfast to Disney Springs because they have an allergy-free bakery there, the Erin McKenna Bakery. And my daughter was just so excited about the idea of like going to a bakery and picking out a treat. So we took the bus to Disney Springs. We went to the Lego store. We kind of walked around. And then got some bakery treats and went back to Bay Lake Tower on the bus for the afternoon just to kind of rest and go swimming before the Christmas party.
Okay. So Magic Kingdom was your first park day. It's just it wasn't a normal park day. It was
the
Christmas party. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, and how did you like your bakery treats? Because I know that's a popular bakery.
Yeah, they were good. They were good. My daughter loved them. She was so excited. We actually ended up, we had just planned to go that one day, but we ended up going a second time during the week to get her another treat because she was so excited about it. So yeah, they were good.
Good. Okay, so you took a break and then you headed off to the Christmas party. So
we did.
Let's talk us through that.
So we walked over. I think we got there about 4:30. I had made just a couple days earlier. I didn't know that you could make fast passes for your Christmas party day without a park ticket, but I had heard one of your trip reports just recently. I can't remember who it was, but somebody mentioned it, I think, for the Halloween party. And so I looked it up, and just a couple of days before, I was able to get a fast pass for Peter Pan during the Christmas party. I think it was like 4:30 or 5 o'clock or something. So we were really excited because I didn't have a fast pass for that for the rest of the week. So that worked out. So we basically from 4:30 to probably 6:30 or 7, we did rides.
And I just want to get a little note on that. So in our Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party post on the website, we do mention that you can get fast passes. But sometimes people get emails that say that they're going to cancel it because you don't have enough park tickets. But it does actually still work a lot of the times, as you found out.
Yeah. It works for us. So
yeah. So just a little disclaimer. It should work, but sometimes you get a little warning that says it won't. But
okay.
it worked for you, so that's good news.
It did. Yeah, so we just did some of the small rides. We did like the Mad Tea Party, the carousel, then we did Peter Pan, which my daughter has never seen Peter Pan. I don't even think she knows who Peter Pan is, but she loved the ride and insisted that we were going to do it again. So I was able to get another fast pass for Peter Pan for later in the week for another Magic Kingdom day.
And again, you never know what they're going to like. So it's nice that you were able to snag a fast pass that day and you still have plenty of time to go on it again.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So did you say you entered the park as early as 4 o'clock?
It was about 4:30, I think, by the time we got in.
Okay. So you spent the first couple of hours, it sounds like, on rides.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then what?
So we ended up, the night before, I had let my daughter stay up to watch the fireworks from our balcony. And she always goes to bed at 8 o'clock. She's not a good, she's not a night owl at all. She's up at 6 o'clock every morning. So in hindsight, I shouldn't have let her stay up the night before because she was really tired the night that we were at the Christmas party. And so we watched the stage show. I forget what it's called now. I can't remember what it's called, but with all the singing and the dancing. And then she was so tired. We left before the fireworks. So, I mean, I think for us, I was trying to think about, was this Christmas party worth it? For us. And I mean, it felt worth it because we got a few hours of rides and it wasn't crowded at that point at all. And we were able to do quite a few things and she loved the show and we got to see Elsa light the castle. So we didn't stay for like the fireworks, the parade, the things that, I really kind of wanted to stay and see, but she was so tired. I didn't want to push her on our first day. So I actually watched the fireworks though from our balcony and they were amazing. They were so good.
Yeah, they're big, so they're easy to see from outside the park. The stage show that we were both trying to remember is called Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration. Yes. The names are so long that I always forget because the parade is called Mickey's Once Upon a Time Christmas Parade and there's a lot of words. You watched the stage show and then you had to go because she was tired. So yeah. That is always a fear with the Christmas party is that with little kids, they can't really stay up till midnight. So you have to decide if the amount of time you have is worth the party ticket.
Yeah. I think in hindsight, it was worth it for us. I mean, I know that we also didn't, do any like the cookies or the hot chocolate or anything because of her food allergies. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, we bought the tickets, we went, we had fun, so it was worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what matters then. And then you casually strolled home back to your
so
room.
So nice.
And you watched the fireworks. I do think, too, one thing that you keep talking about, the view from your balcony, when you have kids that go to bed early, it is nice to have a view of something. It is nice that you can go out there and watch the water parade and you can watch the fireworks and you can, there's stuff that you can do even after the little ones are asleep at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. And I want to say too, that we had a lake view. So you can get in Bay Lake Tower, a lake view, or a theme park view and maybe a standard view. I don't remember, but we got the lake view, but I did a room request I looked up online, you can find like which rooms also have a theme park view. And so I did a room request for, that particular kind of room. And we just got really lucky because we ended up with a room that was like partially lake view, but mostly theme park view.
Yeah. So you paid for a lake view and got a better view than most probably. So which method of request did you do? Did you fax? Did you call? How did you do it?
Fax. I did a fax. Yeah.
Okay. There's always a lot of there's always a lot of debate about which method works. I actually think it varies by resort. So it doesn't hurt to try a couple different things.
Yeah. Yeah. I was not sure obviously that it was going to work out, but, we did the check-in on the app. So we didn't have to go to the desk or anything. And when I saw that we had a room and I saw the room number, cause obviously I knew we wanted an even numbered room in this floor. I was so excited that we ended up with that view. So it was great.
They listen to you. So that's nice. All right. Yeah. So you're at the end of your first full day and you watch the fireworks. And then what was your next day?
So on Tuesday, we actually had breakfast at our hotel. Well, at the Contemporary. We had breakfast at the Wave, which was fantastic. It was our best breakfast of the week. They were so, so attentive to the food allergies. Everyone from, you know, the person who sat us, our server, the chef came out and she was wonderful. She really went like above and beyond to make a really delicious breakfast, like not just an allergy safe breakfast, but a really great, delicious breakfast. So that was our best breakfast of the whole week. And it was right at our resort.
Yeah, that's convenient. And because the Contemporary has so many good places to eat, I think this one gets overlooked, and it is one of the best, I think.
Yeah, we thought so.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out for you. I have no experience with the allergies there, so I'm really glad that they were super attentive to you guys on that.
Yeah, they were great.
Good.
So then we took a bus to Animal Kingdom. So this was our first Animal Kingdom day. And we got there because of breakfast. So what we did figure out, though, is that with the food allergies, all the meals took a little bit longer, I think, than they probably would, because everything was, you know, prepared, which we were fine with, you know, better safe than anything else. But so we actually didn't get to Animal Kingdom until around 10, maybe closer to 10:30. Mm-hmm. We had a rhino tour that day. I think it's called Up Close with the Rhinos. Mm-hmm. The new tour, and we had to be there at 10:45 for that. So we basically, once we got into Animal Kingdom, we just went right back. It meets right by the safari. So we just went right back there and met up for our tour.
And okay, so your first introduction to Animal Kingdom is on a tour, which is a really great way to kick it off. So how did you like the tour?
It was great. So that was the hottest day that we were there. That was the hottest day we had while we were there. So it was really hot. They took us on a bus backstage, so we couldn't take any pictures or videos because the entire tour happened backstage. They took us back to the Rhino Barn, and there were like 14 people, I think, in our group, so pretty small. And we met three of the, I don't know what you call them, the caretakers for the rhinos, I guess, the trainers. Mm-hmm. And we got to see in the rhino barn where they sleep. We got to learn about how they train them to, you know, get blood draws and, you know, necessary medical evaluations and stuff like that. They talked to us a little bit about conservation and poaching, which was really interesting. And then we actually got to pet one of the rhinos, because apparently white rhinos really like to be touched. I guess they're really social animals and they like touch. So kind of one at a time, we got to go up and just pet one of the rhinos there. And it was really great. My daughter enjoyed it. She was, for a lot of the tour, you're just kind of standing like on pavement, you know, with the sun beating on you, listening. Mm-hmm. So that kind of got a little old for her after a while. She just kind of sat down and, you know, covered her head up. But I really liked it. I thought it was really informative and super unique. I mean, where else are you going to get to be up close and personal with a rhino?
Yeah. How long did this particular tour last?
It was a total of an hour, and that included the transportation, like back to the, you know, to the barn and back. So we were probably there about 40 minutes, mm-hmm. I would say, like actually with the rhinos and the caretakers.
So you would say that tour was worth it?
It was worth it. It was, for us, it seemed worth it. It was $40 a person, which really didn't seem very expensive to me, because the entire, that entire amount goes to conservation of the rhinos. So it kind of felt like a good cause and a really unique, you know, opportunity. So yeah, it felt worth it to us. We all really liked it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I know this one booked out right when it was announced, but I haven't heard a lot of reports yet. So nice to hear a good report. It doesn't surprise me too much, because the tours are usually pretty good. Okay, so when you got finished with that tour, then how was the rest of your Animal Kingdom time?
So that day felt really crowded to us. I don't know why. It was kind of in the middle of the week, but it was also really hot. So we had a fast pass for Navi River, so we went and did that. Which my daughter also really likes. She has no idea about Pandora, but she really enjoyed the ride. I thought it was really pretty. And then she wanted to go over to Dinoland, I think, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They did the Triceratops spin. And then by that time, it was, you know, kind of lunchtime. So we knew we were coming back to Animal Kingdom another day, and we had fast passes for Safari and other things. So we just left at that point and went back to the hotel. We had lunch and went swimming. And then I actually, because I only used one fast pass at Animal Kingdom that day, I was able to book the second two for Epcot for the evening. Like one, as soon as I used the first one, as soon as I used the Navi River one, I was able then to book the next two at Epcot. So I did that. So in the after rest and swim and everything, we went to Epcot.
What were you able to snag for fast passes at Epcot?
We got the character spot to meet Mickey, Goofy, and Minnie. And then we did a fast pass for Nemo, which we didn't need, but my daughter was so excited to go on the Nemo ride. So those were the two that we did for that evening.
Okay. So a break in the afternoon, which is super important on a hot day, like you mentioned, and then back at Epcot that evening.
We took the monorail back. We got there about probably 5 o'clock. And so the first thing we did was Nemo. We did the Seas with Nemo and Friends, which my daughter really liked. Then we looked around the aquarium. And then we did the fast pass for the character spot to meet Mickey, Goofy, and Minnie. And I had kind of gotten it just because there weren't any of those other top tier attractions to really do with the fast pass. I didn't know she was going to love it. And she loved it. I mean, I'm pretty emotional anyway, but I was almost in tears because she was just so excited. And Mickey was great with her. Goofy just had her laughing hysterically. Minnie was so sweet. They were dancing and hugging and it was so good. It was just awesome.
Yeah, they're cute pictures. I sent Heather, who runs the website with me, a picture of your daughter meeting that character, and she said, "I'm feeling a little weepy today," and that just brought tears to my eyes. So, you're not the only one. They're super sweet. So this was accidental that you found out that she liked characters. It wasn't in your original plan, and that one has several characters, so she got to do a lot all at once.
Yeah.
So when you saw how much you liked the characters, then what did you immediately adjust plans, or how did you start thinking about the rest of your trip?
Yeah, the following day we were going to be back at Epcot for Garden Grill, and my husband and I had kind of talked about because with the allergies, you know, the character breakfasts were kind of making me a little nervous because she has to wash her hands like right before she eats. And, you know, just if she's touching characters that have touched other kids. So we were talking about canceling Garden Grill. And then as soon as we saw how much she loved these characters, I was like, no, we can't cancel it. Like, we have to figure out how to make this work. And so it did factor in the rest of the week. And we just made time. I just made sure that we had time to, you know, if we saw a character, just to stop and let her, you know, get in line. And it was a surprise, but it worked out. She ended up meeting a ton of characters over the course of the week and loving every single one. So
it's so cute. As you may have heard on previous trip reports, one of my favorite things is when people pivot based on what their family needs. And, you know, that's one of the benefits of planning, is that you have information in your head, so you know how to do that once you get there. You were able to change based on her needs, and she's never going to be six again, you know? So
I know. That's perfect.
Yeah. So when she'll have different interests if you get to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. So after you met the characters at Epcot, then how did the rest of your evening go?
It was good. So we had used our three fast passes, so I snagged an extra fast pass. So we did Spaceship Earth, and then we got on the monorail and went back to the hotel. She went to bed. There was another Christmas party that night, so I watched the Christmas fireworks again from our balcony because they were just so great. And that was it. That was the end of our second day.
Sounds lovely.
It was. It really was.
Earlier you said that you use one fast pass at Animal Kingdom and then you made two fast passes at Epcot. So you were not originally planning on doing Epcot that evening?
No, we weren't. So we were going to spend the whole day at Animal Kingdom. You had mentioned checking the weather. So I had been checking the weather kind of like for the month leading up to it. And it looked like it was going to be in the 70s the whole time. And it was just a couple days before we were going to go that all of a sudden, like, oh no, it's going to be in the high 80s. And my daughter does not do well with heat. So I kind of knew, ooh, I don't know that this is going to be great. So I kind of went into it thinking, I don't know that we're going to be here, you know, as long as I thought we were going to be. So we had, I had fast passes that day for the safari and something else at Animal Kingdom. I can't remember, but I had in my head that we're probably not going to do all these things because the safari wasn't until later in the afternoon. And so I wasn't really attached to them. I knew that if I have to cancel these, we can, you know, we had the park hoppers. I knew we could go somewhere else. And what we actually figured out that first day was that worked really well for us. And we ended up doing the same type of setup most days where, you know, one park in the morning, take the rest. And then once it starts to cool off or once, you know, she's rested from the crowds to go back to a different park. So we ended up doing that almost every day and it worked out.
That is the perk of having the park hopper ticket.
Yes.
So you weren't originally planning on doing that schedule. So what was your original plan for getting the park hopper ticket?
Originally, I honestly just got it because we were staying so close to Magic Kingdom and I didn't know, if, you know, we were going to want to pop over there in an evening. I did think we would split some of the days, but I thought we would be able to go longer, in a park without a break, and it didn't work out that way, which was fine. But I was really, really glad that we did have the park hoppers.
Yeah. And for a couple of questions that often come up with park hopper tickets, is people say, well, I only want to hop one day. Can I just upgrade one day? But it's a flat rate. So you either upgrade your tickets or you don't. It's just a flat rate on top of it for the most part. And you mentioned you got it because you were staying near a park, which I think is super smart. I recommend the same thing for people staying near Epcot, because when you can see a park from your hotel, it feels terrible to not be able to go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So having a park hopper is really nice because, you know, in your case, you could have done a park in the morning and then gone over to Animal Kingdom that night, you know, because you can just walk in. The same thing is at Epcot. So I think I liked your logic, even if it ended up being something different once you got there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that we just finished your Tuesday and the next day was Wednesday. And I think you already mentioned Garden Grill as part of those plans.
Yes. We had a pre-park opening reservation at Garden Grill. So we had an 8:10. We got over there. We actually took an Uber because we had figured out, you know, how long it took us to get there the night before, like via the monorail, and building in enough buffer and all that kind of stuff. And we decided, being early in the morning, we were just going to take an Uber. So we did, and we thought it was super worth it. You know, it took us like 10 minutes to get there. And we left our hotel about maybe like 7:40, I think. So we got there and went right into Garden Grill. They sat us right away. Everything was good. We actually got for the, because they serve it family style. So we just asked, this was the only one where they gave us a little bit of a hassle to speak to the chef. Everywhere else we went, as soon as we told the server that there were food allergies, they either asked if we wanted to speak to the chef or just said, I'm going to send the chef out to speak to you. Our server at Garden Grill was a little hesitant. I don't know, maybe because they were planning, you know, it wasn't busy when we got there, but by the time we left, it was very busy. But I said, like, please, like, I really would feel more comfortable speaking to the chef. So we did. And we just got the whole table, got the allergy friendly skillet, I guess, for, you know, lack of a better word. So we all ate that. And my husband, who doesn't often eat, you know, allergy friendly stuff at restaurants, obviously, he still thought it was good. I thought it was good. Lily loved meeting the characters. We got to see each character twice, and we were still out by about 8:55.
Nice. Even in, and like you mentioned earlier, when you have allergy meals, they do take a little bit longer. So you were still wrapped up before 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it was a good experience. And then you were worried about meeting the characters and the contamination of that. So how did that go?
So it actually worked out because when we sat down, the characters were already meeting the people who were there. And we sat down right about 8:10. So there weren't that many people there. And so as soon as we sat down, I think either Chip or Del was at our table within 2 minutes. So we got to meet everybody except Mickey before her food even came. So we were able to do pictures, hugs. And then once her food came, I went and washed her in the bathroom. And when Mickey came over, she didn't get to do a hug or anything because she was in the middle of eating. But that was fine because she had met Mickey the night before. And so that actually worked out because the characters came so quickly. And then when they came around a second time while she was eating, you know, she just waved and we just, you know, kind of chatted and it was fine. So it worked out.
Good. That sounds like it was a good flow. Yeah. For your breakfast. And that's a good place to do it because that is one of the character meals where you can meet the characters fairly quickly and multiple times. Other ones aren't quite so convenient. Okay, so you wrapped up at 8:55 there, and then how'd the rest of your Epcot time go?
It was good. So we had a fast pass for Frozen Ever After a little bit later, but so we just went right to Norway to meet Elsa and Anna. So we waited about 20 minutes as we were coming out of the land pavilion there where Garden Grill is. We could see the swarm coming in from the front of Epcot, and you know, half the people going over to Norway. I think a lot of people were actually going to the Frozen ride, not to meet Anna and Elsa first. So we were through in about 20 minutes, like having met them and everything. So it didn't seem long at all. And their little summer house was, you know, super cute to walk through as we waited in line. So that was great.
It is super cute. And did you get to see the summer house on Frozen Ever After eventually?
Yes. So then right after we met Anna and Elsa, we went to Frozen Ever After with our Fast Pass.
Good. And how did you guys like that ride?
We loved it. So my daughter, she doesn't like any kind of surprise, you know, in general, but especially on a ride. And so I knew that at some point in the ride, there was a little bit of a drop and I didn't know where it was. So I was kind of on alert for that the whole time. But she ended up loving it and it didn't bother her a bit. And we did Frozen Ever After again later in the week because she loved it so much. So, and that time I actually, because I knew she already loved it, I felt like I was more relaxed and I could really take it all in. And I thought it was really cute. I liked it.
Yeah. My daughter didn't ride a roller coaster till she was 18 because she so hates drops. So if anybody needs a heads up on Frozen Ever After, it goes backwards. And then once it starts to go forward, there is a little drop after that. So, but it's pretty small.
It really wasn't bad.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't bother too many people. Okay. How'd the rest of your Epcot time go then?
So then, we had a fast pass for Living with the Land and we did that, which we all really liked. I thought it was so interesting. I don't know. I feel like I haven't really heard that much about it and that people really love it, but the three of us, even my daughter, like really liked it. We, thought it was fun to see all the food they were growing. And, so that was the last thing we did for the morning at that point, because we were also coming back to Epcot. So I had one more fast pass for Epcot. They don't remember what it was, but my daughter kept talking about the Peter Pan ride and she wanted to go on Peter Pan again and she wanted to go on Peter Pan again. So I decided to cancel the last fast pass that we had for Epcot and try to get a fast pass for Peter Pan for that evening at Magic Kingdom. And I was able to get one.
Nice.
Yeah, I was really surprised because I figured, you know, that would probably be impossible. But we got one for later that afternoon. So at that point, we left Epcot. We actually took an Uber to Disney Springs to go to the bakery again, because that was the other thing. My daughter really wanted another bakery treat. So we just went over there, went to the bakery, took the bus back to the Contemporary, to Bay Lake Tower, swim, rested, you know, ate. And then walked back over to Magic Kingdom around 4 o'clock.
To ride Peter Pan again.
Yeah.
Nice. The park hopper ticket's coming in handy again.
Yes.
Super handy. Okay, so how was your, and your other nights had been Christmas party nights. So yeah, this was a non-Christmas party night, which is nice. And it's a little tricky to plan around.
It was a little bit busy because it was extra magic hours that night. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew, I mean, I was so glad that I had listened to your podcast and I knew like what to expect. That was another thing I forgot to mention for the Christmas party, but you had mentioned, I think it was maybe with the Halloween parties or, cause I think I went before you had gone to the first, mm-hmm. I can't remember. But anyway, at some point you mentioned like, don't go into the parties expecting, you know, that it's not going to be crowded. And I was so glad that I had heard that, because when we booked the tickets for the party, that's kind of what I thought. Like, we're going to go into this party. There's not going to be that many people there. You know, we're going to feel like there's all this, you know, space and room. And it was not that at all. But I didn't have that expectation. So I feel like, you know, it would have been a different experience if I hadn't heard you say that in advance.
Yeah, I think that is important. It used to be like that, though. It used to be that the parties were not crowded, and now it's super different. The podcast that just went up, the one before your interview right now, is about the Christmas party, and I say I fell off of the bandwagon for parties for a while because I was so disappointed that they were so crowded. Yeah. But I'm back on now that I have just come to the realization that they're going to be busy. So
yeah,
it's nice that you had known that ahead of time, because otherwise you'll be very disappointed.
Yeah. And so the same thing then when we went over on Wednesday night to Magic Kingdom, knowing it was extra magic hours and, you know, knowing like with your crowd calendar that those tend to be busier days. So we knew that going in, and I thought that was, you know, a little bit easier to know that going in. But we did Peter Pan. I then got another fast pass. We did The Little Mermaid. My daughter wanted to ride Dumbo, so she and my husband rode Dumbo, and that was the longest we had waited for anything. They had like a 30-minute wait to ride Dumbo, which I don't know, seemed long to me, but she enjoyed it, and, you know, it was fine. So after we got a fast pass to do the Little Mermaid ride, I started looking for fast passes to meet Cinderella and Elena, because now that I knew that my daughter liked meeting characters, Elena is actually her favorite princess. She loves the Elena show. So I was able to, this whole time they were in line for Dumbo, I just stood there on the app, you know, refreshing and picking different times and kind of toggling back and forth until finally a fast pass came up for that evening to meet Cinderella and Elena. So we did that, and then that was the end of our evening.
Lovely. You just keep adjusting to what your daughter wants to do, which is really nice. So she liked meeting Cinderella and Elena?
Yeah, she was not that impressed with Cinderella. I don't know, but she was super excited to meet Elena. She has like a little Elena scepter, and she brought that to get her picture taken. And she loved that. It was great.
Yeah. For the kids that like the newer princesses, Cinderella may not be so impressive.
Yeah. It's funny. If you look at in the pictures that we have of all the princesses, like in the Cinderella one, she just looks kind of bored.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was excited to see Cinderella.
Yeah. 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 And they're a package deal, because if you want to meet one, you get to meet both. So, so that's lovely. Okay. So I believe that was the end of Wednesday.
Yes.
And the next day was Thursday, November 15th.
Yes. And we had a breakfast. We had the Bon Voyage breakfast that morning with Ariel and Rapunzel.
I predict another Uber ride today.
Yes, we did. We Ubered to the boardwalk. Our reservation wasn't until 10:30. And so I had kind of planned this to be a half rest day originally. And it kind of worked out. I think having that morning to kind of take it slow was good. So we got there a little bit early. So I think we got there actually about like 10:15. And I checked in just in case they could take us early, but they actually said they were running about 15 minutes late. So we didn't get seated until closer to 11. That breakfast, we had a little bit more difficulty with the food allergies because it took longer for the characters to get around. So she was able to meet Rapunzel before her food came. And I think Ariel after her food came. I know Prince Eric came like while she was eating, so we couldn't really, you know, she couldn't touch her or do anything with that. But it was okay. It wasn't our favorite meal of the week, but it wasn't like our least favorite. They were very busy. So like the chef seemed very rushed when he came out, which obviously, like, I understand they're super busy there. It just wasn't our best experience in terms of the food allergies, I think, in particular. It was fine. Her meal was safe. It wasn't our favorite.
So I know that restaurant has an allergy menu. And are you able to order off the allergy menu, or do you have to do something special because she has so many allergies?
So the thing, she ate the Mickey waffles at pretty much every restaurant. I think actually for every breakfast, she ate the Mickey waffles because those are the only thing on most allergy menus that are dairy, egg, and nut free. So she could order them off the allergy menu. I just felt more comfortable talking to the chef due to like the cross contamination, mm-hmm. you know, piece of it. So she got the Mickey waffles, and she kept a little notebook where she rated her waffles every day so she could decide which were the best allergy waffles of the week. The wave was the best, but yeah. So, the only issue we had there was my own fault. So because she is so allergic, she also has contact allergies. So if she touches something that has, you know, milk or egg or nut, she breaks out in hives. And I usually cover her chair with, you know, we bring what's called a monkey mat. And I didn't do that. And she was wearing shorts. And just about at the end of our meal, she started complaining that her legs were itchy. And I took her into the bathroom and her legs were just covered in hives. So I don't know if someone spilled milk and, you know, it wasn't really wiped up well on the chair or what. But that kind of plays in to the rest of our day because they only got worse. But the food, the meal itself was safe and was fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the waffle rating system is adorable to me. Nice to know that the wave wins that contest.
Yes.
Because I was going to ask which one was the best.
Yeah.
All right. So did you go over to Epcot after this or where did you go next?
We went to Hollywood Studios. So we took the boat over to Hollywood Studios.
Okay. And how was that for you?
That was good. So we had a fast pass for Toy Story Mania. So that was the first thing that we did. When we got there, we went over to Toy Story Land. We did Toy Story Mania. And then from there, I was able to, we had fast passes for the Beauty and the Beast show and Frozen Sing Along. But they weren't till later in the day, but I was able to modify both of them so that as soon as we were done with Toy Story Mania, because she doesn't do roller coasters, and the line for the Alien Swirling Saucers was really long, and so I knew we weren't going to wait for that at that point. So we went and saw the Beauty and the Beast show, and then I figured she probably would want to meet Olaf. So before we did the Frozen sing-along, we went to see Olaf, and so we only had a 15-minute wait. When we came out, the line was like five times as long, so I think we just got like a good little window there. And then we went to do Frozen Sing Along. And then at that point, she was complaining that her legs were really, really itchy. And I had kind of, she hadn't really been complaining, I think, because she was excited, but I looked at them again for the first time and there were just welts all over her legs. And I said, okay, like we have to go back to the hotel. I can't, you know, have her keep walking around here being so uncomfortable. So we took the bus back to, the Contemporary, and it was only maybe 3 o'clock at that point. But we didn't end up doing anything else for the rest of the day because I had to call her allergist and we had to get like a special topical cream. So then we had to figure out where we were going to get this topical cream. And so we ended up not doing anything else for the rest of the night.
So, well, it's unfortunate that that interrupted your plans, but for anyone who encounters this, where did you end up getting the prescription?
So it wasn't a prescription, it was over the counter, just like a steroid cream. And so we at first were going to get it from Prime Now and have it, we could get it delivered, I think, within an hour, like paying an upgraded fee. But my husband went to the front desk and they said, go look in the Contemporary store. They might have it. If they don't, we'll go through our first aid kits and like find it for you if we can. And he was actually able to find it in the store at the Contemporary. So that worked out. Worked out really well. And then she just rested for the rest of the night and that was pretty much it.
And did it help? Did she get better?
It did. It did. By the next day, the hives were pretty, her legs were still a little swollen, but the hives were all gone and she was much more comfortable.
Okay. Well, good news. Good way to end the day then. all right. So the next day was Friday the 15th.
Yes. So that morning I didn't have a breakfast reservation because I just wasn't sure if we were going to want to take a break from, you know, eating breakfast in restaurants, but my daughter was insistent that she wanted to do it every day. So I got a reservation for the Kona Cafe, for that morning at like 8:45. So we took the monorail over there, and that was actually probably the most attentive chef that we had all week, and that he actually brought out the ingredient list without me even asking. He said, I want to bring you the ingredient list of the mix we use so that you can read through. You know your child better than I do, so you can make sure this is safe, even though, it was on the allergy menu, it was safe. And so I really appreciated that. He was incredibly attentive. And so we had breakfast at the Kona Cafe. We all liked it. We thought it was good. And then we took a bus from the Polynesian to Animal Kingdom because that was going to be our next Animal Kingdom day.
And did you have fast passes for this day, or did you, was this part of your original plans or not?
And no, everything at this point, pretty much everything had been rearranged. I was able to get a fast pass for a safari for that morning, which was the thing that I really wanted to do. I was really excited about the safari, so I was excited for that. So we had a fast pass for the safari and then Lion King, but we didn't end up doing the Lion King show because then my daughter actually got sick again with her throat hurt really bad. She got a cold for a day or so. When we got to Animal Kingdom, we did the Gorilla Falls Trail, mm-hmm. I think it is. Mm-hmm. Which again, with, kids surprising you, my daughter was obsessed with the bird part, like the bird forest. They give you a guide where you can identify the birds, and she wanted to spend so much time just finding all the birds. I had no idea that she would be interested in that, but she was. So we spent a lot of time looking at birds on the Gorilla Falls Trail.
And by this point, your trip, were the temperatures cooled off a bit?
Yes. Yes. So this day was probably at this point in the morning, I was wearing a sweatshirt. So, it was probably like 68-ish, which was so much more comfortable, a totally different experience for us,
Yeah, especially at Animal Kingdom where it can feel so hot.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very comfortable. It was good.
Good. Okay, so your daughter has interest in animals and the weather is nice. So it's a nice time to explore those interests. What else did you do at Animal Kingdom?
So then we had a fast pass for the safari. So we did the safari. And then we headed over because she liked the first trail so much. We went over to Asia and did the trail there, the Maharaja Jungle Trek, I think. Mm-hmm. And again, they have a bird section, and their bird section is even cooler. Like, they have really awesome birds there. So she was even more obsessed with the birds. And then my husband and I, we were hungry at that point. So we got lunch at the Harambe Market. We did the mobile ordering, super easy and quick. And then we were waiting. I had a fast pass at that point for the Lion King, and we were waiting. But my daughter had been complaining all morning that her throat hurt. And at that point, she was like almost crying that her throat hurt so much, and she just wanted to rest. So I said, like, okay, we're not going to push this. We took the bus back to the Contemporary. I had brought a thermometer from home just in case, and she ended up having like 101 fever, and she said her throat was so sore. So we were supposed to go back to the World Showcase that night, and I had gotten, when I canceled the Lion King fast pass, I got a fast pass for Frozen Ever After for Epcot for that night, but she just felt so yucky that I just let her rest. So we again didn't end up doing anything that evening, but it was fine. The next day she felt better, and so we could go on with our plans the next day.
Poor thing. She had a couple days in a row of not feeling well, but you've said that it was short-lived, so at least she gets to keep going on the trip.
Yeah.
Okay, so I said Friday the 15th before, but I meant Thursday the 15th. So that was the end of your Thursday. And so it sounds like
Friday. That was Friday. So Thursday was the day we were doing Thursday was the day we went to the Bon Voyage breakfast. So that was Friday.
Okay,
it was
Friday the 16th.
Yeah, right. Friday and the 16th.
The ironic thing about me getting that wrong is that was my son's birthday. So I am very familiar with November 16th being on a Friday this year. Okay, so that was the end of Friday the 16th. Yes. And next day was Saturday the 17th. And as you mentioned, this is the weekend right before Thanksgiving. So crowds would have started arriving. But what did you do on Saturday the 17th?
So because my daughter had her rating system for the waffles, she insisted that we had to go back to whatever place had the best waffles. So she wanted to eat again at the like waffle winner on our last day. And so our last, you know, full day. And so it was the Wave. So we went back to the Wave for breakfast that morning. We didn't think it was quite as good as the first time because we had a different chef and she didn't do kind of some of the extras, you know, like the fruit and all that kind of stuff, but it was still very good. And so after our breakfast at the Wave, we walked over to Magic Kingdom.
Okay, good. And what did you do? And was it busy because it was a Saturday?
Oh, it was really busy. It was really busy. And so the rest of the week, I mean, as I said, like I had been able to switch fast passes around, like get fast passes for pretty popular things kind of last minute. So I was kind of expecting the same, you know, because, well, we were supposed to have a reservation for Be Our Guest that morning, but I canceled it because she was so adamant that she wanted to eat at the Wave. So we ended up getting there a little bit later anyway than I thought we were going to. So I had to switch some things around, and there was not the flexibility that day with fast passes at all. I was able to get a fast pass for Tinkerbell because she really likes Tinkerbell, and given how much she liked meeting the characters, I wanted to be sure she was able to do that. So we met Tinkerbell, and then we had a fast pass for Buzz Lightyear Spin because that's what she wanted to do. So we went over to Tomorrowland. While we were waiting for that, we rode the People Mover, and there was even like a pretty long line for that, which I thought I had heard there's like rarely a line for that, but there was a pretty decent line for
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the day, the line, we tried to do it again, and the line was like even longer. So we did the People Mover, which she really liked because, you know, she didn't like roller coasters, so we obviously didn't go on any of the big thrill rides. We didn't go on Space Mountain or anything, but she thought because it goes through Space Mountain, she was like, I went on Space Mountain. Like she thought she did, you know, some kind of big thrill ride or something. So, that was really fun. And then we did our fast pass for Buzz Lightyear Spin. And then she really wanted to do the Tomorrowland Speedway. And so it said 35 minute wait. I tried to like, cause we had another fast pass left. So I tried to figure out if we could get a fast pass. There's no fast passes for anything. So 35 minutes, okay, fine. And then we get in line and they say, attention, like, we don't know why the sign says 35 minutes. It's at least an hour. So she said she still wanted to wait. So just she and my husband were going to do it anyway. So they waited about an hour to ride or to do the Speedway. But she liked it. She thought it was fun. That was our longest. That was the longest thing we made it in all week. So I guess that's not so bad. But and we tried to do the People Mover again, and the line was insane. So at that point, there were so it felt claustrophobic. There were so many people. So we went back to the hotel at that point to have lunch and go swimming.
Yeah. The thing about the Speedway that is so tricky is that it's so big that if you walk anywhere near it, kids are going to see it and want to do it. So even though I don't think it's a very good attraction, you cannot convince kids that. So it's best, like, if you can, it's good to like try to fit it in your schedule because kids are probably going to want to go on it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wasn't really expecting that, but you're right. Like as soon as she saw it, she was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. So yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. It doesn't really live up to the expectation, I don't think, but it is hard to resist when you are a little one.
Yeah.
So what was the day like after your afternoon break?
So then we went back to Epcot because we had planned to do the World Showcase, I think, the night she got sick. So we weren't able to do that. So we went back to Epcot, and it was totally different. Like, it was not busy at all. So I guess everyone was at Magic Kingdom that day. I don't know. But I got a fast pass the same day for Frozen Ever After. So we got to ride that a second time. And then when we first got there, Daisy was meeting, you know, was doing a meet and greet, and there was almost no wait. There were, you know, a handful of people in line. So we waited maybe 10 minutes. She got to meet Daisy, and then we went right over to Norway, did the Frozen ride, and then we just did the rest of the World Showcase. She met Belle and Aurora in France, and then Alice in, I think, the UK. And it was just so nice because it wasn't crowded. It was so mild, like the temperature was so perfect. That was my favorite, I think probably like my favorite time of the whole trip, because it was just so, it was our first time in the World Showcase other than, you know, to do the Frozen ride the first day, And I was just really taken by, you know, the atmosphere and how different every country felt. And I got a pretzel in Germany because the pretzels are vegan, so I could eat it around my daughter. And my husband got some gelato in Italy, and we just thought everything was, it was just great. We had a really, really good evening.
That's good. I just looked up the calendar to see why it was so low crowds, and it's because it was the day before all the festival, the holiday stuff began. So people were probably waiting, and you got in there just before. So yeah. Sounds like you were able to take advantage of some low crowds, which is nice.
Yes, it was great, especially after having been to Magic Kingdom like that morning. It just felt like a totally different experience. So we had, and then the last thing we did, my daughter really wanted to ride the Nemo ride again. So on our way out, did the Nemo ride. And then at that point, we obviously could have taken the monorail back, but after the whole week, we were just all so tired and whatever. We just took an Uber back to our hotel. And that was pretty much it. That was the end of our trip. We went home the next morning.
Good. And so it's nice that you ended your trip on a high note and yes. ended up being the favorite part of your trip. So that's a lovely way to cap it off.
It really was. Yeah.
Okay. So on your departure day, anything of note there? Did you use resort airline check-in or did you have any issues?
No, we didn't have any issues. We didn't do the check-in because we had an early flight and we weren't going to do anything else anyway. So we just pretty much left for the airport at about 8:30. I was really surprised because it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So I figured, you know, the airport was going to be super busy. It wasn't. I mean, we were checked our bags through security, maybe in like 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. It was so fast and easy. And then we just sat and waited and played games until it was time to go. So it was a really easy return.
Yeah, maybe it's easy because most people aren't leaving. They're coming in.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like in rush hour traffic, if you're going against rush hour traffic, then it's easy, you know.
Yeah.
That's sort of the concept, I think. All right, so sounds like you had a really good trip overall with a couple little hiccups, and I'm glad that that worked out for you. In hindsight, any things that you would have done differently? I guess you wouldn't have known ahead of time what your daughter was into.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I had planned things much like my plan for the week looked totally different than what we ended up doing. But I feel like the act of doing all that planning, like listening to all the podcasts and reading all the blog posts, I knew enough that we could do those things on the fly, and it still worked out really well.
And that's why these trip reports are before and after and not just after. Yeah. Because the plans never work out. I mean, it's good to have a plan because you have to start from somewhere and you have to do the research. But when you get there, things change. So it's good to know how they compare. And you knew enough to pivot, which is really nice. So what do you think your daughter's going to remember most about this trip?
I think definitely the eating in the restaurants. That was huge for her. And, you know, for me as a mom, just to see her do something so normal, you know, that so many of us just kind of take for granted. But it was so big for her, and it was great. And she didn't have a single issue the whole week. It was really, really good. And so I think definitely the restaurants and then meeting the characters. I mean, she loved it. She has her whole autograph book full, and we're getting all the pictures printed so she can put them in with the autographs. And really excited about that.
Did she have a favorite character?
She really loved Elena. You know, for me, watching her interact with Goofy and Minnie, like, I thought those were the two sweetest interactions. But she just loves Elena so much that I think meeting her was kind of the highlight for her.
Nice. Well, hopefully there will be a framed picture that she'll be able to keep with her then.
Yeah,
that'll
sure.
be cute. So last question. Do you have plans to return at some point?
We do. We don't have any, we don't have like a date or anything, but we're definitely going to go back. We are thinking about buying an RV because that's a much easier way to travel with food allergies, you know, to have your own kitchen with you. And so we kind of, you know, have looked a little bit into the campground there, thinking about maybe next time we'll do it that way. Although it's going to be so hard now that we stayed, you know, walking distance to a park, but, yeah, so we're definitely going to go back. We don't know exactly when, but sooner rather than later.
Well, by the time you go back, there'll be lots of new things to check out.
Yeah.
So that'll be great.
Yeah. Can I share one more thing though?
Mm-hmm.
So we got the, we got Memory Maker, and I just want to share this because I don't want other people to do the same thing I did. Because we had Memory Maker, I didn't take my own pictures during those character meet and greets, because I figured, well, you know, I'm just going to be present and watch and enjoy this, and like the photographers are there. But a good number of our pictures were really bad, like super dark. The goofy ones in particular, which was one of my favorite interactions, were so dark that I was able to edit a few of them once I got home, like in Photoshop, so that you could actually see her face. But the ones that were taken, you know, that are in our app, like you can't even see her face. And so I would have, in hindsight, like I would have taken my own pictures, even though we had Memory Maker, because they just didn't, I feel like they didn't really capture the moment that well.
Yeah, that's unfortunate reality. So, yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that just in case. It'd be a shame to have a sweet moment and not have it on captured in pictures. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing, Crystal. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that report from Crystal. You can check my Instagram for some pictures that were from her trip, including the rating system that her daughter used for the Mickey waffles. As always, I do have a quick tip before we wrap it up today. This one was emailed in by Amanda C. She said, did you know that the table service restaurants in the park will do carry out? Near the end of a long day in Animal Kingdom, towards the end of our trip, we found ourselves without a dining reservation for dinner. We were tiring of the standard quick service fare and not feeling like running across the park for something more unique as we were near Yak and Yeti. We popped in, hopping to snag a table without a reservation, but we were told it would be a 30-minute wait. Instead, we ordered two adult entrees to go for our family of four, and after a short 10-minute wait for them to prepare our food, we walked out of the restaurant with our meal. The open seating of the Yak and Yeti local market quick service was right next door and nearly empty, so we were easily able to snag a table and enjoy our meal. So my tip is to consider ordering carryout at times when you don't have a dining reservation. The cost of the two adult meals was similar to what we would have paid for two adult and two kid quick service meals and plenty of food for us all. That is a fantastic idea, Amanda. Not something I'd ever considered, but makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate you sending that in. I think that will wrap up this episode. If you would like to look at any of the show notes, please check your podcast app or go to the website wdwprepschool.com, click podcast at the top, and scroll down to 196. Until next time, I will see you on the site.